lesson this evening comes from the Old Testament, Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 23, verses 21 through 32, Jeremiah being a prophet and spokesperson for God Almighty, speaking to his people to guide them back into the way from the way they've departed. Judah had, among many, had given ear to false prophets, and they were on the verge of being in some serious trouble as a result of doing that. So in Jeremiah 23, beginning in verse 21, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to the people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. I am a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off. Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy falsely in my name, say, I had a dream. How long? Is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood, even these prophets of the deception of their own hearts, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal? The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, the Lord declares. Behold, I am against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them and led my people astray by their falsehood and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor do they furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord. Empty words coming from people who professed to the people when they spoke to them that they were speaking on behalf of Jehovah God. Not so, declares the Lord. It's a sad situation when societies get like this, especially those who claim to serve the Lord. False prophets have done a lot of damage among God's people in whatever generation they have lived and conducted their business and for whatever reasons. And it's not good. Let's consider some ways in which the truth of God, the Word of God, as he emphasizes in verse 28, let him who has my word speak my word in truth. Let's consider ways in which that word benefits not only the people of this day, had they embraced it, but of any generation, and how it can benefit us. I love thinking about the power of the Word of God in the lives of people. Think how valuable light is to us. God's Word in truth gives light. It helps us to see in darkness. It gives us direction. It shows us the way. It makes the way clear. It enlightens our steps so that we step in the right places, the secure places, the places of great benefit that our Father has directed for us. It keeps us from stumbling, keeps us from falling, keeps us from tripping. It keeps us very secure. The light that is set from God's Word is very, very important for you and I as Christians. in Psalms 119 and 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Those are precious words, showing us that the word of God leads us throughout life, wherever we might be, whatever situation we might be in. God's word sheds marvelous light on our thinking and on our actions. It allows us to see the direction that we should follow, the path that we should walk for the greatest benefit. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Where do we learn of those excellencies of God? We take it from His Word, don't we? Christian is described as one who is taken from darkness and removed from that into the light. Jesus tells Paul that he was chosen to go to the Gentiles and to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in Christ, in Acts 26 and verse 18. Those in darkness are under the power of Satan. We learned that from other passages of Scripture in the Bible, and He controls those in darkness. Today there are many people walking in darkness and going the wrong direction. Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So God's word in truth gives light. And giving light is giving security, isn't it? We see how to walk. We're secure in that. We become comfortable in that. Because we're aware and we can see and we know the right way. We understand the right way. Isn't it great that God's Word in truth shows us the right way by enlightening a path for us to take? Secondly, God's Word in truth comforts us. Where do we find comfort when we need it? When we're going through trials in life, when we're experiencing deep sorrow, where do we go to find the comfort? There's nothing more comforting sometimes in life than when you're a little chilly, you're sitting by a nice campfire or a warm fire at the hearth of your home on a very, very cold day. Kind of strange to talk about a very, very cold day on a day like today, isn't it? Might be kind of hard to imagine. The farther one gets away from the fire, the less he's warmed and the less he's comforted. And I think that's the way it is with the Word of God. The farther we get away from it, the less comfort we receive. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, those who died in Christ were told to comfort one another with these words. Words that came from the apostle. Words that gave them some security because He answered questions for them about their departed loved ones. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. There is a God that provides comfort, and certainly He does for all of us. It's our comfort in time of trouble, and we can comfort others with His Word. Psalm 119, verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that Your Word has revived me, the psalmist said. And so how does God's Word comfort us? It reminds us that we have come into the realm of salvation because we've yielded to its commands. We've embraced it, and it's become our lifestyle. It's become our belief. It's become our faith. It's be- become who we are. It proceeds from our lives and our words and our actions, and it takes us through times of even persecution. But it takes us through times of sorrow and times of stress. It's comforting, is it not, that we have a God who cares and provides comfort for us as His children? Remember, the farther we get from God's Word, the less comfort we receive. If we need to be comforted, draw close to God's Word. It truly gives comfort. Thirdly, God's Word is penetrating in the lives of people. Fire has the power to burn right through metal if it's hot enough. If it's in focus enough, the welders will tell you this is how they can cut metal. Fire is powerful. Radiant heat from the sun. Fire that is hot enough can penetrate anything. It's concentrated. It can cut through anything like a laser. As fire is able to penetrate, so is the Word of God. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." That's a powerful word, isn't it? That's a word that penetrates quite deeply, isn't it? It's able to pierce through the hardest of hearts. Like a two-edged sword, it's able to cut deeply. In Ephesians 6 and verse 17, we're admonished to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Picture in your mind the Holy Spirit yielding a sword, yielding the Word of God, and speaking it in such a fashion by the authority of God that it immediately presents itself as powerful and authoritative and effective, very much like the God who spoke creation into existence. Notice that it's not the Spirit that penetrates. It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. When the Word of God penetrates the hearts of men, one of two things will occur. As seen in the book of Acts, Acts 2 and verse 37, here are some people who heard the Word of God. And when they heard, they were pierced in the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And on the other hand, in Acts 5 and verse 33, Peter and John and the apostles were before the religious council, and when they heard this, they were cut to the quick. Notice that they were cut like the ones previously in Acts 2:37 who heard the Word of God. But their reaction wasn't the same. They were cut to the quick and intended to kill Peter and the apostles. It cut them that deep. God's Word in truth penetrates the heart of man. And it declares what a man truly is when it does so. It shows the man himself who he really is. And it's up to him to do something about it. It's very penetrating. Fourthly, God's Word in truth purifies. It makes clean. It removes contamination. It makes pure. Precious metals are separated from the dross, from the impurities. How does that happen? By extreme heat, by fire. It burns the impurities off. It burns the waste. It burns the foreign material. So what you have after that tremendous heating process is clean and pure. It takes the foreign matter away. So fire could be a purifying agent for many things. Remember, we used to watch the old westerns as children, and we've got to get that bullet out, and the guy pulls out his knife and he holds it over the fire, cleansing the blade, removing the impurities and the infections and the germs, and from the blade so he can stick that into a person and dig to pull it out. We loved it as kids. But we learned something about what he does with things that are, that have uncleanness on them, filth on them. Fire is a purifying agent, and so is the Word of God. John 15 and verse 3, in speaking of the vine and bearing fruit, you are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you. So the Word has a cleansing effect, Jesus said to his disciples. It cleans. It removes the filth of sin, even. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. That happens by the Word of God. It's purified. The church is purified by the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful that it even produces a spotless church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. But the grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Lord that was preached to you, Peter reminded his readers. Not simply the word that purifies, but through their obedience they became pure. We need to use the word of God to burn the impurities off of our lives. Is powerful enough to do that. Do we use it for that purpose? In times of weakness, in times we falter, do we turn back to the Word of God and use it to encourage us and build us up and strengthen us and give us power and ultimately purify us again? The truth does have that power. And then fifthly, God's Word is something that does destroy. If you think about the same fire that warms our homes at the comfortable hearth in the wintertime, if we let that fire get out, if we let it become uncontrollable, it can burn our houses down. There are many fires that take place in the kitchen when people are cooking meals. Grease fires happen there. Those things can burn your house down. Those things can harm you. Fire can help, yes, but it also can destroy. And God's Word is much the same way. If you obey God's Word, it has the power to save you. If you deny God's Word or disobey God's Word, it will ultimately destroy you. You cannot defeat the power of the Word of God. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in the second Thessalonian letter in chapter 1, beginning in the second part of verse 7, he said this, "The Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire." Do you ever contemplate that? What is this flaming fire with his angels all about? He tells us, "Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." So we see right there that God's truth, His Word, indicates to us that He's going to take vengeance on some in the day of judgment. Those who are disobedient will be punished by His Word. Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus indicated that the power of the Word has a good effect when he says, "He who has believed and has been baptized will be saved." learned that they were to believe and to be baptized, if not from the powerful word of God. That's what will save them. But he who has disbelieved will be condemned. The obedient are saved. The disobedient are lost. The word of God is that powerful. In John 12, in verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one who judges him, the word that I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. The word that I spoke, the word that Jesus spoke, certainly, yes, it has the power to comfort, but it has the power to destroy as well. We will be judged by God's word. That word can save us or it can cause us to be lost, depending on our response to it. Do you appreciate how powerful this word of God is? Have you proved it out in your life to see how powerful it is for you? Let him who has my word speak my word in truth, declares the Lord. How are you responding to God's word? Are you opening God's word every day? Are you letting its power guide you through life, build you up, encourage you, make you stronger in the faith? Are you doing that with the word of God? Are you allowing the word of God to do all that it can to help you and benefit you? Or do you give little attention to it at all? God's word can do great things for us if we will but accept it. God's word is powerful. It is very, very unfortunate that false prophets in the day of Jeremiah prophesied falsely in the name of the Lord. There are still people who do that today. That's not a powerful word. The pure word of God is powerful. Do you accept God's word? Do you allow it to work in your life? If you're in our assembly today, if you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we would encourage you to let it work in your life because it can bring you not only forgiveness of sins, but a right relationship with God. You can speak to Him. He will answer your prayers. You can be a part of this assembly of people, Christians. You can worship God regularly and remember the death of Jesus Christ for your sins, all by the power of God. Sins removed. Guilt removed, conscience clean. We can assist you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ today, in repenting of your sins, confessing Him before men, being baptized into Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, raised to walk in newness of life. We'll be delighted to do so. And if we can help you, please come to the front and let us know about that while together we stand and encourage you by singing the invitation song. May God bless you.